up, America? It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't call in. Telephone calls are an interruption. That is such bad radio to say that. I guess you can Skype in if you have a good mic. If you've gone to our website and bought the mic that our co-hosts use or have a good mic and you've added us on Skype, you can Skype in. My co-host tonight's Chandler St. Pierre. Tell me about yourself, Chandler.
Well, I live in Maine and consider myself a bit of a philosopher at times, a joker at others. And I do a podcast with my friends on our website, flightofthebastards.com. And the podcast is the FU Express. And as I told my co-host when we were doing our show Saturday, we will never be on terrestrial radio because of our content. We're jokers. You know, we try to laugh at tyranny and laugh at all the ridiculousness that
are
we
you,
see.
Are you midnight tokers?
Some of them are.
Okay.
Not me.
I'm just making a 70s rock lyric joke.
It's Steve Miller deep, Band.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I always went for Black Sabbath when it comes to 70s music.
I like Black Sabbath a lot. You know, the record Black Sabbath, which contained the song Black Sabbath by the band Black Sabbath. It's the first song on that record. It came out like one of the like last two, like 6 weeks before the end of 1969. And from the first note, that song just like, it just kills the 60s. It just ends the 60s, you know?
Yeah,
it's the end of the 60s.
Alice Cooper had made a comment that, you know, his band and particularly Black Sabbath with that song drove a stake through the heart of the hippie generation.
Yeah, Alice Cooper is like a Republican right-wing radio shock talk show host now in Phoenix. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. He does Alice Cooper's Nights with Alice Cooper, I think it's called.
I just heard your dog. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So speaking of pets, before we get into the DIY audio production stuff, which is going to be the bulk of every show probably that I do with Chandler, because he can't talk about it on his podcast because they just want to talk about what Obama did to me today. I'm simplifying, but that's kind of accurate, right? It's about government tyranny and things.
Yeah, we actually talk about all kinds of stuff and try to make fun of that sort of thing.
Cool. Yeah, but I want to talk about pets. My wife and I made up Native American names for our three cats today that really kind of fit them. Charlie sleeps with squirrels because she likes to sit in the yard on sunny days with them out there. And she's so old that she can't chase any animals much. She does occasionally a little tiny mouse or something. But she'll just sit there like sleeping in the sun while there's squirrels eating like 10 feet away. So she sleeps with squirrels. Fuzzy yells at ghosts because he kind of does. Or yells at clouds. That's his other name.
I like that one.
And Peanut, who's our crazy little weird cat, I like this name the best. It's Dances with Hamsters. Kind of fits his personality.
Yeah, my kitty cat, he's a loner now. His mama had to be put down, so it's just him and my dog. And he's been really lovey. He's such a great cat. And he's been bringing me presents for the last 2 weeks. I've woken up several times in the morning and found little dead mice at the foot of my bed.
Did he take off the heads and feet?
No, he hasn't done that. But he usually lays them out in the same spot right in front of my bed.
You know why they bring you dead animals, right?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. It's a sign of affection, you know, that you take care of them and it's a present for you.
Well, specifically, it's food for you because you give them food all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're a good hunter. If you're out 8 hours a day and then you come home and you always have food, they don't know you've been at the office. They think you've been out slaying beasts and grinding them up into a delicious paste or into crunchy bits. So they bring you food. The reason they sometimes remove the head and feet is because those parts don't taste good.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they're preparing a meal for you.
It's kind of funny because I have to wonder, when we still had Mom and Kitty, I had to start giving them soft food, and they just shared the soft food, and he really liked it. And I've switched back to dry food, so I wonder if he's trying to tell me something now.
You should get another kitty, man. Cats love two kitties. There's nothing as fun as two cats, man.
Yeah, I'm considering it. I was kind of torn because I didn't know how he'd react, because he's always had his Mom and Kitty with him, and I was his kind of kitty, unsure.
Do you mean his mother or his spouse?
Yeah, it was his mother.
I thought you were speaking biker talk, like his old lady.
Nope.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. And my kid really wants another cat because he's mine. He just crawls in my lap constantly. Yeah.
And you got a girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, girls love cats, man. Take her to get a cat. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's nothing as fun as two cats, even if you have a dog. And little girls love cats, so it'd be good.
Yeah. Well, we were thinking, too, down the road where my dad lives, there's a beautiful, beautiful cat that's kind of been wandering around, and he or she, I can't even tell which, has been spending a lot of time on my dad's porch with my dad's cat, and he's actually tried to sneak into my dad's house a few times. So I don't know. If it ends up that he's stray, we might take him in.
Huh. Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because – you know, a lot of people, like in my neighborhood, in Wyoming, at least in my neighborhood, there are a lot of cats that have homes and no collars that are indoor-outdoor cats.
Yeah.
And you could kind of tell they're not wild because they're really well-fed and they're plush, whereas feral cats are usually pretty scruffy and skinny. But, yeah, there's sometimes they get in my backyard and terrorize my cat or try to eat food I put out there for him. But, yeah, man, cats are good. I like cats.
Yeah, I have a dog, and, well, she's special. You can probably hear her in the background now whining. And I've pretty much come to the decision once this dog is gone, I will have no more. I am definitely a cat person.
Have you heard the expression, dogs have owners, cats have staff?
Yes. Yeah. And I totally agree with it.
Yeah. Cats aren't really fully domesticated yet, and may never be, in the way that dogs are fully domesticated. And most dogs that are very domesticated, you know, indoor, go outdoors only with their owners. If humanity ended and those dogs could get outside, a lot of them wouldn't survive. But most cats could survive without people. You know, a lot of them would get killed and eaten by dogs and wolves and coyotes and probably roaming bands of zombies. But overall, the cats would basically inherit the earth, man. I mean, they can run up trees. Not a lot of animals can do that. You know, they basically can almost fly. You know, if they're cornered by something, they can run away in ways that dogs can't.
Yeah, cats are awesome.
Yep. So dances with hamsters. That's our kitty, Peanut. She's insane.
Well, you know what our cat's names are? He had a brother, and my kid and I have always been big Simpsons fans, and my kid named the two cats Itchy and Scratchy.
You know, there was a meme that was going around that was really funny that got a lot of play, and it was kind of a takeoff on a meme I did. It was libertarians, how we see ourselves and how others see us. And
yes,
the how we see ourselves was, and this is back when I was a minarchist, the how we see ourselves was some statue back east of some Minuteman holding a rifle, you know, with a ponytail, like some guy who fought alongside the founding fathers kind of guy. That's, you know, how we see ourselves. And then the how others see us. It was a picture of me holding a battle rifle behind the Wyoming flag in my living room, which is a really cool looking flag. It has a bison on it. As flags go, it's pretty cool. And I'm actually wearing a tinfoil hat in the picture. Somebody took that idea and did it even better. It was libertarians, how we see ourselves. And they used the same picture I did of the Minuteman. And they said, how others see us. And they found this picture somewhere of like this just insane looking kind of hippie guy with long hair and really wide eyes holding a cat in one arm and holding a Tech 9 submachine gun in the other arm with his finger on the trigger of all things. Yeah, it was pretty funny, man. I liked it. He should have just had a joint in his mouth, though, too, and it would have been perfect. Yeah. So, speaking of libertarians, have you been in on this whole, like, thin versus thick libertarianism kerfuffle?
Just from what you've been discussing on the show.
Yeah, I guess it's like thin libertarianism is the basic principles, just, you know, non-aggression principle. That's it. And that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, I added another one to it of like, you know, do not initiate or accept aggression, which you can do on varying degrees. And then I add keep your word, which I think is really part of don't initiate aggression. Because I think when you're habitually late, or if you, you know, basically you're lying and committing fraud, I think, if you don't do what you say you're going to do. So I think it's kind of part of the non-aggression principle anyway. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of other agendas, and there's a lot of other agendas with thick libertarianism, like feminism and equality of money and the environment and all sorts of things. And it's kind of like, I kind of feel like if you practice first principles, if you practice what you preach with the non-aggression principle, I think that other stuff would kind of all find its way anyway.
Yeah, I think it filters down into your daily life. At least it has for me.
Trickle down Austrian economics.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, somebody, of course, like somebody I've never heard of, like commented on that on the site and said, like, you're wrong. You need to get a real thick libertarian on to debate you, and I'm the man to do it. And I just was, I didn't even bother responding. I was busy like building the world in the flying rocket cars with this internet blockchain-based system that I'm involved with, so I didn't have time to go look at it. I'm working on the BitShares team now. If you go to the bitshares.org/team and go to the bottom of the page on the right, there's a picture of Michael Dean there, and my official title on the team is Cat Herder, which is basically I do so many little things that combine into one big job that there's no description for it. I'm the cat herder. But yeah, I didn't have time to respond to this guy. I'll say it now in passing since we're talking on the air. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have some guy come on and try to convince me I'm wrong. And it's not like contempt prior to investigation. It's like, I've investigated it. It's been explained to me. I don't think libertarianism needs to have a bunch of other agendas attached to it that don't have anything to do with it, that sound like a lot of leftist stuff too, especially the, like, you know, wealth equity. I think that if everyone obeyed the non-aggression principle, there'd be a lot more wealth equity anyway. I think in general, just everyone would be richer and the ultra rich would be a little poorer. But I think basically everyone could be a millionaire without the government. So I don't want to debate that guy because he's wrong, you know, any more than like, I like to have sex with women. I don't want you to come on and talk me into having sex with men. It's not me, you know. It might be you. It's not me. It's not you, Chandler.
Nope.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
Kitties tight. It's a cold night in Wyoming and Maine. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to my fellow fiend over on the other end of the inner tubes. How you doing there, man?
I'm cold. I'm starting cold. To wonder if like winter's ever going to end.
I thought you were going to say, I started to wonder if I'm getting old, because I'm going to turn 50 this month. So I'm thinking about that a lot. You're nowhere near that, huh?
No, I'm
Chandler.
Jeez, how old am I? I think 36.
I remember when I was, I don't know, 7 or something, like 11, and I asked one of my sisters, how old are you? And she was like 26 or something, and she had to do math to answer my question. And I was like, you don't know how old you are? Like, you know,
forget.
Up until about 20, you know exactly how old you are. And if you're like, you know, if you can count and do math and you're under 10, you probably know, like, you know, I'm 8 7/16, you know, you know it specifically. But yeah, as you get older, you have to think about it.
Yeah, I don't bother keeping track anymore. You're only as old as you feel. Some days are better than others.
Did you see the new Louis C.K. episodes last night?
Nope.
They're great. Well, both of them were kind of playing on how old he feels, and he's 46 and I'm 50, and I occasionally have back pains for no reason other than that I sit in front of a computer all day long, which is a reason. And he had a great skit about it where, like, he suddenly just, like, pulled his back, like, pointing at something on the shelf, and then was hobbling, you know, trying to get home, trying to get a taxi. And he's, like, sitting bent over on the curb, and some, like, 90-year-old woman said, "Are you okay?" And she she helped him hail a taxi and get into the taxi. And I was like, that's funny, man.
That is.
That's how I feel some days.
It's no joke, man. I was out camping one day, and I was just collecting kindling because I have back problems too. And I bent over to get just a tiny piece of wood, and my back went right out, and I couldn't move. I had to have somebody carry me back to the campsite. And,
yep.
Oh, yeah, it's no joke. You got to take care of yourself.
You got to take care of yourself. Yeah, so speaking of camping, you wanted to talk about Porkfest as a segue into audio somehow.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a segue. No, I'm really excited.
Well, I got a segue. I am doing, I'm showing two movies at Porkfest, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. in the Children's Barn, I think it's called. And afterwards, I'm giving a Q&A on DIY audio production, the first one, and DIY video production, the second one. So there's your perfect segue, Chandler.
Yeah, I definitely want to catch those. I still haven't seen the DIY movie. I've seen Guns and Weed a few times and given that to a few people. But I'm excited. I went to Porkfest last year for the first time, and I had a really great time. So I'm excited to meet some more of my internet friends. You know, you'll be there. I get to meet you, and I know Lou's going, and Nikki, and Diana. And I got to meet Ben last year, but it'll be good to see him again.
Yeah, I'm meeting like 20 people that I consider good friends that I've never actually met, to the point where I kind of forget I've never actually met them.
Yeah, it's interesting how that works.
Yeah.
You know, you get yakking with people over the internet, and, you know, you get to know them really well. It's like I said, my show that I do with my friends, we've never actually met in person, you know, and we're fairly close. So that's the beauty of technology, I think.
Well, I was like that before the internet. I guess the telephone is technology, but there were people that I either never met or met once and used to exchange snail mail letters with, like long handwritten letters, like 20, 30 page single-sided letters, to where it would cost like several stamps to send them.
Yeah, I remember back in the day writing a few letters here and there.
Yeah, I remember actually thinking that someday those letters would be important and published. Like, you know how they say, he's a man of letters, which I think a man of letters actually means you have letters after your name, like PhD or something. Steve. But, you know, man of letter, it also has an implication of like his letters are saved in a museum or a university somewhere. And I'm so glad none of those letters are around. I hope they're all burned. Yeah.
That good, huh?
I don't know. I was always smart and I could always write, but I didn't really come to my own of like having something to say to the world until I was about 30. I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say about 34, 35 for sure.
Well, we'll be back with more thin libertarianism plus everything else we like to do in life. That's my agenda. Thin libertarianism plus everything else without the agendas on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. Chandler and I are broadcasting with cats on our laps. My cat dances with hamsters. He's not on my lap. He's actually behind me on the small of my back on the chair, which is, I have to lean forward. It's not terribly comfortable, but it's probably good for my back. Where is your cat, Chandler?
My cat is crawling around on my lap.
And you were like, God, why do they always move so much? And I'm like, yeah, when they're not sleeping 16 hours, they're in constant motion because they've been asleep for 16 hours, saving up energy to bother you. That's what cats do.
Pretty much, yeah.
So why do you have not that I'm against it. I'm just curious. Why do you have a Guy Fawkes mask, the anonymous logo, as your avatar on Skype?
Basically because you can't kill an idea. Long story short. I've kind of followed the different variations of Anonymous for a few years. And yeah.
You know what one of my first questions when I get involved in a project is how long until it's bus proof, which involves killing an idea or not killing an idea. Do you know the term bus proof?
I don't.
And not that I'm against Anonymous. I mean, some of my best friends might not, maybe possibly not be involved with Anonymous. Silence. You know, if we don't talk for 6 seconds,
I know.
Alarms go off because we're that important.
Yeah, the emergency bells go off.
Yeah, literally at the GCN studios in an undisclosed location in Minnesota, alarm bells go off because 6 seconds of silence usually means something's wrong on talk radio, because talk radio hosts cannot go 6 seconds without talking. That's been determined by research.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the Anonymous thing, I remember I was on Facebeef one day and
I like that my name for Facebook is catching on. Facebeef.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
I looked it up. There's actually something called Facebeef. It's basically a bunch of griefers that operate on Facebook and YouTube, but they're not griefers on the internet. They're griefers in person. Like, they go places and film themselves messing with people and then put it on Facebeef and YouTube. It's really stupid. I think they're Australian. But yeah, so it's, I guess somebody else came up with the name. It's pretty obvious, Face Beef, but it's a really good name for Facebook because that's all people do on there is beef.
Hey, not me, man.
So anyway.
Yeah, so I had posted some, I think it was just an anonymous meme, and I got a litany by this minarchist, like natural law person. Nice enough person, but how, you know, Anonymous was just part of the New World Order and you know, Guy Fawkes was a New World Order operative and all this stuff and just going on and on. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe all that's true, but you're missing the point. You know, Anonymous isn't like some collective out trying to manipulate world events. It's a collective of individuals. They all have different ideas and they're all working towards a similar goal, but they branch off into a million different directions. And it's basically that you can't kill an idea. You know, once an idea's time has come, it's come.
There's a lot of liberty people who aren't too full on ANCAP who believe in a lot of correct things, but also believe a lot of zany things. Like, there's a lot of talk in that crowd of like how, you know, rap music is destroying the youth through secret messages, and it's part of a secret cabal of people who drink owl's blood. And I'm like, rap music, really? And like, you know, that popular music is intentionally designed to like make the youth more decadent. You know who was really upset about American popular music making people decadent? You know who was and said it in writing? Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons he attacked the World Trade Center. It was largely because America has been over the Middle East killing Muslims and acting like the police of the world forever. And the guy's horrible. I'm not defending him, but people should study what he wrote. And he did, in fact, say that one of the other reasons was like, you know, the American media industry glamorizes sex, that American corporations sell alcohol, that America doesn't kill drug users. You know, I mean, a lot of it sounded like a lot of the platforms of a lot of hardcore conservatives in America.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of those same people were pushing to go to war and, you know, all that nonsense.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Anonymous. Guy Fawkes is probably not the best icon for that. If you read the whole history of him.
Yeah.
But it's a cool face. It's a cool picture. It's a cool logo.
It's a conversation starter, obviously.
Yeah. And we've started a conversation about it. Also, Anonymous has gotten a lot more ANCAP over the years, I think. They used to be really kind of lefty, and I've seen a lot more stuff under the banner of Anonymous and activism and hacktivism from Anonymous that isn't just propping up the left and smashing down the right. It's kind of going after all of it. And I think the smart hackers are finally, and crackers are finally starting to realize Obama is not your friend.
Well, yeah. I mean, with the advent of the information Bradley Manning brought us and Edward Snowden, and even as far back as Julian Assange, I think a lot of these hackers couldn't deny that fact anymore. The new boss is the same as the old boss. It's the system itself. You know, they were always a lot of people that are into the ideals of Anonymous were always railing against the system, but they were siding on one side, and it's like, no, you don't get it, you know?
Yeah. Julian Assange is especially come to see the light because Obama wants him dead. Obama wants Assange dead and is open about that, or wants him rotting in a cage for the rest of his life. So, and you know, previously, like, things that Assange wrote were specifically anti-Republican and anti-Bush, and kind of talked in a anarcho-syndicalist, leftist, you know, just stuff I've heard out of everyone in San Francisco I ever met, that kind of stuff. And I guess,
well, that was his roots too.
Yeah. I guess once somebody wants you dead, you realize you can't just stick up for them blindly.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, I did see the documentary, what is it? We Steal Secrets.
Yeah.
And that was really good. I was impressed. There's another one that's really good out there. It's called We Are Legion 2012, and it's about Anonymous. It's kind of a collective view, but it does have some good points in it.
You know, the guy who plays Assange in We Steal Secrets, that actor is in a show I'm watching Sherlock. And really enjoying. Sherlock. He plays Sherlock's brother. When I first started watching Sherlock, I was like, man, his brother looks like Julian Assange. And I didn't realize it's not only because he looks like Julian Assange, but because he played him in a movie I watched very closely.
Well, the guy that plays Sherlock is the guy that plays Assange.
No.
Yes. It? Yeah. And that guy also, he did a great role. I'm a big sci-fi fan.
I thought it was
fan.
The guy who plays his brother. The guy who plays his brother looks just like Assange.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Actually, the guy who plays Sherlock played as Assange. And he also played in the new Star Trek movie. And I was not a fan of the Star Trek remake that came out in 2009. And I'm a huge sci-fi fan.
The guy who plays Assange looks like, I mean, the guy who plays Sherlock in Sherlock, the BBC great show, Sherlock, that guy looks like, and I thought it was at first, the guy who plays Jeremy on the BBC comedy Peep Show. You ever seen Peep Show?
I haven't seen Peep Show yet.
You know, a while back on The Fiends, I did some fiend sourcing and asked people to suggest shows for me to watch. And I got some great suggestions, and Sherlock was one of them.
I heard you started watching House.
Yeah, and I watched every one of House. I loved them all. And
me too.
Was that your suggestion?
I might have, but I think, I don't know. I've watched them all. I started watching them during the third season. I started watching season one, and then, yeah, I watched them week by week, and they were great.
Somebody told me, after I said I loved House, somebody said, if you love that, you should watch Sherlock, because House is based on Sherlock Holmes. There's a lot of similarities, including his address on Baker Street. But, you know, the fact that they only have one friend, you know, the fact that they're high-functioning sociopaths, that they don't care about anyone but themselves. They don't really care about saving lives. They care about solving puzzles. They turn down cases that aren't interesting, regardless of how in danger the person is. And they're both drug addicts. Actually, the Sherlock in this one is not a drug addict, is he?
No.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first 3, I think, of the new Sherlock.
Well, but there's only 9 good. Of them, and they're coming out with more. But each season is 3 episodes.
3 episodes,
they're all like
2
hours long. They're great. Yeah. Yep. Sherlock, man. I dig it.
So he played in the new Star Trek movie, and he played the role of Khan, and he blew it away. I mean, cool. It made the movie worth watching. I'll say that.
Well, what I was going to get at, and that's a good point, but what I was going to get at is I'm looking for some more Fiend Source suggestions for comedies that are on Netflix. I need some comedies, man, because there's a show called Peep Show. It's a BBC comedy. It's kind of like an updated Odd Couple if it was set in recent times and they were British and the hip guy was an electro DJ who did lots of drugs instead of a drunk. So, but I really love Peep Show, and I've watched all 8 seasons of it like 5 times through. So I need something else that there are multiple seasons of on Netflix streaming that is good comedy that's funny. So I'm looking for suggestions for things like that.
Yeah, I still got to catch up. I haven't started House of Cards yet. I've been meaning to. I haven't really watched a whole lot of TV lately, but I think I'm going to get into that show next.
Well, when you finish House of Cards, go back and watch the BBC House of Cards it's based on. It's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah, there's a BBC comedy called Saxondale I really like, too. It's about a guy who's 50 and dating a girl who's an anarchist and likes American rock and roll and cars and works as a pest exterminator. So in the course of his job, he shoots things with an air pistol and sometimes shoots hippies that bother him and pull knives on him with an air pistol, which is pretty cool for BBC because they're very anti-self-defense over there. But in comedy, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, because they're making fun of it.
No, but he's still a likable guy. You know, that's... I've talked a bunch lately about writing and what makes a good story. And one thing that I've forgotten to bring up recently is the fact that no matter how flawed the characters are, and usually they're more interesting if they do have flaws, no matter what, they need to be likable. And that is universal in all episodic media, or, you know, in a movie or in a story or a short story. There has to be something likable about the person, or no one's going to invest the time in it.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more life lessons on Everything Under the Sun on the Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Chandler St. Pierre after this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Right. I don't like doing things in beat with the music much on here because they sound really cool on the podcast version that I'm recording on my end. But when they go out streaming and on the radio, they are out of sync because there's a, you know, 16th of a second or something from the signal getting from me to the network and then out to the people. It could be even longer than that, you know, network congestion and things. So it just sounds like I have horrible rhythm whenever I do anything to the beat of the music.
Yeah, that would definitely throw me off.
Sounds good on my end though. So I want to talk about the bus problem, and here's why I'm going to talk about the bus problem. Cause I started this show by saying I was going to started a segment a couple half hour ago saying I was going to talk about the bus problem. And then we started talking about Julian Assange's haircut and grooming policies for a long time, and then got off on a bunch of wormholes and ended up on, we were talking about Maine lobsters during the break. And, you know, I mean, in my brain, that's part of the conversation. You guys don't hear it. But so here's the thing. Part of doing good radio, and this is a teaching hospital moment, is if you can talk well, it doesn't matter how convoluted your dropping down wormholes and going off the main topic are. as long as you come back to the topics that you set up. It's really annoying to listen to a radio show or a spoken word piece where somebody starts a story, goes off on something, and never finishes it. No matter how compelling what they go off on is, there's something subconsciously that leaves you feeling when it's over, something wasn't finished there. I noticed that first. I used to listen to a lot of Henry Rollins pieces,
yeah.
And they're all great. He's really good at yakking. He is an inveterate statist, and I don't like that. I actually tried to, I know him. He's in my movie. I interviewed him for my $30 music school book, and he's in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And had some communications with him. We're not buddies or anything. We don't go golfing or killing strippers or anything together. But, I do know him. I know his direct secret email address. And I emailed him one time. I talked to Stefan Molyneux and said, hey, you're good at debating people. Do you want to debate this guy who's really cool and well-known and an inveterate statist? And Stefan Molyneux is like, hell yeah. And I tried to set it up and...
I was waiting for that one.
It never happened, man. Yeah, that was another one that it was set up and it never happened. That was another story that never happened. It should have. It'd be a good one.
That would have been great.
I'm not going to debate anybody. You know, like people, this guy I've never heard of writing on the site. Oh, you're wrong. Libertarians have to care about everything. You know, basically like he wants to come on and tell me what to do and or have me on his show that I've never heard of and tell me what to do. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I'm not really good at debating, which does not mean my principles aren't solid. It means I just don't suffer fools, man. And I'll just say, well, you, and then just,
yeah,
you know,
that's me too.
I will go to ad hominem and it'll be based on you're a stupid person and you have bad ideas and your haircut's bad. And you need to lose some weight. That's what I end up saying to people, even though I need to lose some weight too. Cause I am a thin libertarian because I'm 50 and I sit in a chair all day. So anyway, the bus problem is in a company or project or corporation, how many people would need to get run over by a bus to kill the project? Like, for instance, there was a time when Satoshi Nakamoto was working in his room, creating Bitcoin, that if he'd been killed by a bus, we'd never have Bitcoin, or his iteration of it, you know. And then at some point he released the source code, and probably still for a few weeks, if he'd been hit by a bus, it would have been gone. But once the source code was out there, there were a bunch of miners, there were people trading it for, you know, 10,000 Bitcoin for a pizza. By that point, he probably could have been hit by a bus and it could have carried on. And now it's kind of like Satoshi is just an icon. It's like, oh, that thing that no one knows what it is and everyone wonders. It's like he's not important to the process anymore because it's bigger than he is. So that's the bus problem. So when I'm getting involved in a project, I always ask how long it's going to be before there's no bus problem and the world can take it over if I get killed or the other people get killed by the government. So we're going to go. Chandler's going to go run and walk his dog. We'll be back.
Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
We have an
abomination.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is what we call bus-proof liberty. Because if I got hit by a bus, there's still a lot of people out there sharing this. And actually, I'm training enough people that this show could go on even after I'm dead. Which is why I'm changing the name from Michael Dean After Dark to Freedom Fiends. Because it'd be kind of weird if, like, I was dead and you and Nikki Darling were doing a show called Michael Dean After Dark, huh?
Yeah, that'd be a little odd.
I'd be honored, but, you know, I think it's...
In memoriam.
It makes more sense to make everyone a fiend, everyone who's deemed worthy by me, and you were definitely deemed worthy by me. So I think I'm going to call this episode Bus Proof Liberty, because a lot of what I try to do in my activism, I don't even do activism, I just do stuff, and it helps the world. A lot of what I do is trying to teach people how to do things well, like get good audio, and do a show to a show clock and make it interesting and create the music like I did that goes in the show. So let's talk about audio and recording. That's what we said we're going to talk about that in the first hour and we never got around to it. So let's get around to it.
Yeah. Before we go into the mistake I made this week. I will say that when we started our podcast, making the intro and outro music, we didn't have bumps because we weren't on the radio. But making that music was some of the funnest stuff I've done. It was so – I mean, one song, that the intro song, I actually made a full song. And I must have spent like 3 weeks on that song just tweaking it and trying to perfect it. And I had such a good time doing it.
Yeah.
And then when we made the trailer for – the release of our website, you know, same deal. It was great. It was a lot of fun just creating something and putting it out there.
I've always enjoyed the act of creation, but I would be lying if I said, oh, I don't care what anyone thinks of it. I just make it for me. Now, I don't care if there aren't people who like it or if certain people dislike it intently, but I do try to make things that follow the natural rules or the natural form of being palatable, which means, like, I don't care how aggressive and atonal a song is that I'm doing, it's still going to have a hook. It might not even be a melody hook you can hum, though it probably will be. It's got to have something that you can, that sticks in your head when you're done. And if I'm writing a story, no matter how weird it is and how contrary to the way mainstream publishing is done, it's still going to have some sort of character arc. It's still probably going to have three acts or things that sort of break down into three sections. And it's probably going to have one or more main characters that are very likable and you want them to succeed no matter how screwed up they are in other ways. So, you know, I mean, basically it's like musicians who say, I don't make music for anyone but me. If that's true, you wouldn't be in a band and you wouldn't try to get gigs. And even beyond that, you wouldn't try to write songs, because the most enjoyable thing you can do as a guitar player is just noodle. And that's not a song, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. I don't even consider myself a musician per se, but I like to create stuff that will provoke thoughts and emotions in people. You know, it may be for me as well, and it may have a specific message. You know, that's one of the things I posted today on Facebook, is that truly great art is able to evoke a wide range of emotions in any individual, regardless of its message.
Yeah, I don't define myself as a musician. I'm a pretty good musician. I'm also a decent filmmaker, writer, radio host. You know, I can do a whole bunch of different things, but pretty much these days I'm a propagandist. I spent, you know, the first 40 years of my life learning to make art and doing it for the sake of doing it and having people dig it sometimes. But all that did is got me really good at making things. So when I got to the point where I had a message, I didn't have to, like, learn to do a podcast to do my first Liberty podcast 3 years ago. You know, I'd already been podcasting since 2006 and I already knew what mics to use and how to get a good sound. And I've constantly improved that. And, you know, the money that I used to spend on heroin when I was a drug addict, I basically spend that amount of money now on audio gear. But then I end up selling a lot of it or giving it away and just kind of spreading it. But I do really like to pass it on because I'm not going to be around forever. I want to make it bus proof. One of my main complaints about Liberty Media is that nobody gives a rat's behind, it seems, about the quality. And there are so many podcasts popping up now, and that's a great thing. So many of them sound horrible, man. They're so horrible. People don't know that talking over your phone is going to sound horrible, and people don't know that talking over a $10 headset is not going to sound very good. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg anymore to get equipment that's decent enough and do a little bit of learning to learn how to use it to get decent audio. I'm really disappointed that more people don't do that.
Yeah, that's been, I guess, not a complaint, but a concern of mine as well. I remember when we did our first podcast on Blog Talk, the sound was horrible. And, you know, we still had a lot of fun, and I think we put some good messages out there, but it always kind of irked me, like, the sound. Now, leading into what we were talking about before, this week, finally, my friend CJ, who does I do a podcast with two of my friends, CJ and Jerry. And Jerry has a really good gaming headset, which surprised me because he does another podcast, and I thought that he had a real mic. And I asked him one day, I said, "So what do you have? You sound really good." And he had $100-something gaming headset.
Yeah, a really good gaming headset can sound okay, but the cheap $10 ones don't.
Yeah, they're horrible.
But and, for the far less than the price of a good gaming headset, you can get a really decent mic that sounds better.
Yeah, like this one, the Audio Technica. Yeah, AT2005.
You don't sound stellar tonight. I think it's a connection issue of the internet between you and I. But you sound really consistent. You sound kind of like a little bit woofy. I mean, not like tonally woofy. Like I have your treble all the way up, but it's kind of like you're under a blanket. But whatever's under the blanket sounds really good, I guess is the way I describe it. Like it has fullness and sounds consistent. And
well, I wonder if that's partly Skype or the internet too, because I've noticed on some of the other shows where that exact, that happens with some of the other hosts as well. And I think all of us are using the same mics now. So yeah. It kind of makes me wonder.
Sometimes it sounds better than others. It could be the internet in Wyoming. It could be the antelope running on the wheel that powers the internet in Wyoming just got tired and took a nap.
Yeah. So Saturday, right, we were doing our podcast and I was so excited because my friend CJ finally got one of these mics and he's been calling in on his phone like since we've been doing the podcast. A couple of weeks he did the internal mic on his laptop and it's, And I was so excited, we did a little sound checking and testing like we always do before the show and everything. And I was like, "Oh, you sound so good. I'm so happy you got that mic." Well, we did our whole show, and then I opened it up in Adobe Audition. And apparently, maybe my kitty crawled on my mixer. I don't know. But the gain on my mixer was all the way up, so I was coming through really distorted. And I'm like, it figures. I finally get my guy to get a good mic. I bust his balls about it for so long, and he finally gets one, and I ruin the sound by coming in way too hot. Now, how I record, I use Audio Hijack Pro on my Mac to record, and I record in stereo, and I have the Skype callers, whoever's on with me, on the right channel, and I record on the left channel. So it
And then you mix to mono later, but it gives you more control.
Yes, because yeah, if I had to remaster the recording as just a straight mono, everything that I applied, it would apply to both right. sides.
Yeah, it's the idea of multi-tracking and like recording the different parts of your drum kit on three or four mics. So if you need to turn up the bass drum, you're not turning up the cymbals. Yeah,
exactly. So It didn't sound great, but I was able to fix it to the point where it didn't irritate me quite as much. And then, I down mix it to mono and save it a lower bit rate and upload to the internet. But it just goes to show you that I didn't have my in-ear monitor in Saturday, and I probably should have because had I had that in, I would have known immediately.
Yeah, I always – when I'm using a newer – I'm listening on the headphones that – I'm hearing what's recording, basically. I'm actually not hearing what's going on radio. I'm hearing it's a different sub bus, but I'm hearing what's being recorded. But there is somebody at the network hearing what's going on radio. So if there's a problem, he'd let me know or adjust on his end, which is kind of cool. It's kind of I really dig doing live radio for a number of reasons. And one is the fact that there's actually a sound engineer other than me on one end of it, on the other end of it, makes me feel more confident about doing it. Like I mean, it's the difference between all of the times I played a club where, you know, the PA is a little self-contained six-channel thing over on the corner next to the stage, and you have to control it yourself, or some drunk guy is twisting knobs on it, to where when you play a really professional club, you know, there's a guy who has a salary and his job is doing sound, and he knows what he's doing, and he's listening to every bit of it and adjusting everything on the fly. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely builds confidence knowing that you have that.
Yep, I like it.
So, but if you don't have that, the key is to check and double check. I mean, we have, with the new show we started, I think we're up to like, I don't know, 7 or 8 episodes. But there's, it goes 4-6. And, you know, where 5 would be, I put, in case you're wondering, you know, CJ and I recorded a great, and we did. We did such an awesome podcast. And I forgot to hit the record button.
Yeah. Well, making it's honorable of you to admit that mistake and point it out to people who may not have heard it. Like, yeah, go check out my mistake. But I do always say that the Freedom Fiends is a teaching hospital. And, you know, we could just yak all the time, and and I don't really feel like any kind of, I feel like I own this and I built this. Nima Vidati helped build it. But he can't do it anymore because of family stuff. And I still really love him and respect him. I was chatting with him tonight. But, you know, I did all the building of it. It was like we wouldn't have been on one radio station without me. And so, but I do feel a sense of not obligation, but wanting to give back to the Liberty community in the form of explaining what we're doing once in a while. And we'll have more of that when we get back from the free market, the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. Decentralized, distributed, anarcho-capitalist, thin libertarianism for all the boys and girls. So Chandler, what were you saying during the break? I really liked it.
Well, I think when you have podcasts like this and some of the other ones.
No, just this one.
Okay, just this one. You'll have folks that'll listen to it and really admire it and like it. And they'll be like, oh, I'm glad you do that because I can't do that. But when you start to bring up the teaching hospital aspect, I think you inspire people because you show people that, yeah, you know, even though this sounds spectacular, we make mistakes from time to time too, and here's how to correct them and what not to do.
Yeah.
I think that drives people
to do it,
want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they're never going to do it as well as I do, but they can come close, and the best of them and the best of them will be pretty darn good. And there needs to be a lot more of that, especially since I'm going to be 50 this month and I'm not going to be around forever. I'm only going to be around for 40 or 50 more years. My dad is 94, so my mother died at 75 of cancer, and that's still pretty old. Like, most people don't make it. A lot of people don't make it to 75, but you know, I have the genes on my dad's side say that I could live into my 90s if I don't get killed by the government. And we are bus-proof liberty, drone-proof liberty. And we would like to keep doing this as long as we can and encourage others to, you know, there's a podcast called the Something Love Podcast. You know that one? It's a new one. It's a video podcast.
No, I think I've heard reference to it, but I haven't checked it out.
It's a freaking,
I mean, I don't have a lot of time, and between listening to this show every day and the Freedom Fiends and Ben, when he does this, that's about all I do.
It's called the Rebel Love Show. And it's a pretty good podcast. It's on Freekeen all the time. And I heard it and I was like, man, these guys are pretty good and they have a lot to say, but their audio is pretty horrible. And I don't know these people from Adam Kokesh. I don't know who they are. And I found out who they were and I contacted them and said, hey, I do the Freedom Fiends. I'd like to give you some free audio tips. And the guy was like, absolutely. And I ended up talking to him for 2 hours on the phone one day and having him like record 10 seconds of talking, email it to me, have me open it up and look at it and listen to it, and then do it again and do it again and do it again until he really tuned his sound to be a lot better. And, you know, they're on their sixth episode now and they've gotten a lot better. And that was just something I did one afternoon for free because I was bored and just felt like teaching hospital, you know, spreading some liberty. I do stuff like that all the time. And, you know, I don't deserve a cookie for it, but I could turn over my Davy Barker hedgehog badge if he ever comes out with them. Did you hear about that?
No.
Well, I was in Cub Scouts and they had a thing in Cub Scouts called the Bobcat badge, and they don't have it anymore. They have a Bobcat patch now.
They
had a Bobcat badge, and there was kind of a folklore thing in Cub Scouts. It wasn't in the book anywhere, but it was a thing that everybody did in my Cub Scout troop, and I know in others because I've searched it online since then. And people, you know, you put it on in the morning upside down, and you couldn't turn it up right side up until you did a good deed for a stranger. And it's kind of cool. I liked it. And, you know, Davi makes badges, really nice ones. And I told him about this on the show last couple weeks ago, and he loved it. And he, like, researched it, and he's planning on making a bobcat or a – he wants to make a porcupine badge, not based on the pork, you know, the pork New best, Hampshire, yeah. But based on, he has a porcupine character in one of his books, and he's going to sell them. And the story that's going to go with it, I said, you can't turn it upside down until you talk to a statist about liberty. And he said, or break a nanny law. I was like,
oh, I like
that's
that.
Awesome. Yeah,
that is awesome.
Or, well, you know, it should be, or I would add, or help somebody with their audio.
Exactly. I will say, you know, I've been listening to the Fiends for, I don't know what, 2 years now. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts and some terrestrial radio shows, you know, on GCN and other networks. And I found a lot of the advice you've given, both on Creamy Radio Audio and on the show, really helpful. You know, like switching mics, getting new mics, trying them out, but also learning that you've got to have mic technique, you know, how to sit, where to sit, what's the sweet spot on your mic. All that stuff is so interesting to me, and I think it's necessary if you want to sound good.
Yeah.
And I think people take that for granted.
I have a recommendation for you. You should go on creamyradioaudio.com at some point and search the word Catmaster, all one word. My wife made something for me. We call it the Catmaster 300. It covers my mixer when I'm not using it. Keeps dust out. Also keeps cats from pressing buttons.
Yes.
You need a Catmaster 300. They cost about a dollar to make. All right. We'll be back. More teaching hospital on the Freedom Fiends.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help.
download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean on Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends After Dark. And it's Michael Dean, Master of Cats. And Chandler, are you a Master of Cats?
Yeah.
Or have they mastered you?
I think they've mastered me. In fact, my kitty was just sitting down and cuddling up and being all lovey, and I think he heard the bump music because he stood right up.
You know, like, we were talking earlier about the joys of making music, and the music, some of the music for this podcast, this radio show, it's a radio show. We're on one station in Illinois.
Yay.
Did you know that? We're on a station now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends are on 23 stations. We were on 25, but there were two that were on in Knoxville, Tennessee that were sort of the same deal. One was FM, one was AM, and it was a 50,000 watt AM one, and we actually lost that because they changed owners, and we lost the FM because they went to country and Western. They don't have talk anymore. So got to give me some more stations, but yeah, still 23 is pretty cool. I mean, there was, for most of my life, if you'd told me, move to this town in the middle of nowhere and you can have a show on this one radio station and you can sleep on the floor and sweep the floor and we'll pay you food, I would have done it. I was that into wanting to talk to the world. So,
well, do you know how Trent Reznor recorded his first album?
Was he working in a recording studio and doing it at night?
Yes, he was. In fact, before Pre-Hate Machine came out and got released, he did what was called Purest Feeling, which is basically a full-length demo version of that, which has a couple of songs that Pre-Hate Machine doesn't. Huh. And he was a janitor in a recording studio, and he asked to be paid in studio time. And at night, when he got off shift, he would go in the studio and record. He pretty much did that whole album himself, you know, as Purest Feeling, and then, you know, got the record company to like it and revamped it a little. So yeah, you can do it.
That song that was just playing, some of the music for this show I wrote for this show, and I wrote it in like 3 or 4 days, recorded it. I especially like the one that plays at the end, the one that's really upbeat and cheery that I also use in the Meow Bit song.
Yep.
But that one that we just heard is my band Bomb from the record we did on Warner Brothers, which was the last record we did, last proper record that we did before we broke up and reunited and did an EP. That song, that band, our first record, To Elvis in Hell, which was recorded in 1986, was recorded at Hyde Street Studios in San Francisco. And it was recorded on barter time, like what you're talking about. I was dating a woman who worked at that recording studio as a receptionist in exchange for studio time. And she gave us our studio time in exchange for a producer credit on the record because she wanted to get into producing records. And her, this other guy was the engineer on it. He was a second engineer there and he wanted to be the first engineer on a record. So he did the engineering on it. We paid him in like crystal meth and beer, I think. And those two are actually now married, and I was going to say something really cool about him and what he's doing now, but I don't want to say that these people used to take crystal meth, even though they don't anymore, and I don't anymore. But yeah, they're happily married now, and my wife and I have visited them and had dinner with him, and the guy is a hell of a cook. I got to say that he's one of the rare men who can cook who doesn't do it for a living. I don't know, it's not that rare, but he's really good at it. So the thing that I was going to say before is, this is really cool to me, is that band Bomb, like, even though we were on a major label, we hardly ever got any radio play. We got some college radio play, And that Warner Brothers record, there was one song on it, and it was that one we just heard, that barely got commercial airplay on like five commercial rock stations for like, you know, they played it like four times each.
Right.
And then they were like, this is too weird, you know, and stop playing it. But it's kind of cool to me that I'm using a lot of music from Bomb on this show, because it's like Bomb's finally on the radio.
Well, yeah. You know, after listening to The Fiends and this show, I finally got around to going and downloading some Bomb. I got Hate Fed Love, and I dig it. I don't tend to be, I know that was more kind of the punk alternative stuff, and I've never been as much into that. I've always been more into metal and industrial and stuff like that, but I dig it. It was good stuff.
That song Devil Is Us on that record is almost industrial without a drum machine.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of inspired by the vibe of the Ministry song Burning Inside.
I love that song. Have you ever heard the cover that the singers from Static X and Fear Factory do of Burning Inside?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. They totally knock that song out of the park. It's really good. I'm a big fan of Fear Factory, especially the earlier stuff. And yeah, that song rocks.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty neat to finally have that band on the radio. And it's back then when I was recording stuff and writing stuff and making media, it's different than now, because now whenever I make something, whether it's doing a radio show live or, you know, making some music that I'm going to put into a movie or something, I know while I'm making it that a bunch of people are going to hear it. And when I was making music in bands, every record we did, even the one on the major label, I pretty much didn't know if anyone was ever going to hear it. I didn't know if the records would ever come out, because it was always such a, we were a hard band to pigeonhole. You know, I did that interview with Kurt, the guy from Nirvana, Chris Novoselic, and he said that Kurt Cobain was a huge fan of my band, and Chris was a huge fan, and Kurt turned Chris onto the band. And Chris said that if we'd been from Seattle, we would have been internationally famous because of what was going on there at the time. But we were from San Francisco, so we kind of fell through the cracks.
Right.
You know, there weren't really any big bands out of that scene in San Francisco. I mean, big bands, it pretty much goes, you know, from like the Grateful Dead, and then it jumps to like, oh, Train, or so, not even Train. I don't know, Chris Isaac or something. You know, there's a couple decades where like nothing famous came out of San Francisco, even though a lot of good music did.
Yeah, the Grateful Dead. That was my first concert.
I saw them 9 times.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good show. I kind of wished I got to see him more, but that was definitely a good show. Over 100,000 people and a lot of good memories.
Where'd you see him?
Highgate, Vermont, in an airfield.
I'll bet everyone who was later in the band Fish was there.
Probably.
Aren't they from Vermont? They seem like they are.
I don't know. I think maybe. Yeah, I was never a big Fish fan.
I think they met at Bennington. Yeah, Burlington, Vermont is where they're from.
Okay, yeah. I know there's another band that I think is from Vermont called Strange Folk, which is like Fish, but not quite as popular. I never got into any of that. Like, people were like, how can you like the Dead and not like the Fish?
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
know,
like, nah, it's totally different.
It is. It's kind of like, I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I hate almost every band that's heavily influenced by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Nobody gets it right. They kind of get like the bullet points of it right, but they don't get the whole thing, you know. And they said the Grateful Dead, like, I remember there was a quote from Jerry Garcia that I heard when I was about 14, like before I ever listened to them. I never really listened to them. I mean, I've been to houses where they're playing and I've seen them 9 times and I loved them 8 of those 9 times, and the 9th time wasn't a very good show because they weren't always great.
No.
But I remember this quote from Jerry Garcia that I heard when I was like 14 that kind of influenced me for the rest of my life, and it determined what I wanted to do with everything I did. He said, "The Grateful Dead aren't the best at what we do. We're the only ones who do what we do."
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, I think, you know, you have people that are like, how can you not like Fish and Strange Folk if you like the Dead? Well, like you said, they don't quite get it. The Grateful Dead and even Black Sabbath, another example, they started off as kind of a blues band.
Yeah.
In fact,
they were called
Black
Earth
Sabbath,
and they weren't very good.
Yeah. Well, they had that one song. I've got the Earth demo, and there's one song. I can't remember the name. It's like the only one that ever got radio play. And it's pretty good, but it's so weird hearing them, you know, before.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Before they became dark and evil, you know. But they were more of a bluesy band, and I think that spoke to me more than some of this, like, I don't know, some of this other stuff is just so poppy and generic. It just, it doesn't do it for me.
I love a strong melody, but I don't like something that sounds like it was created for money, and that's what a lot of pop music sounds like to me. And a lot of the, a lot of the music that I like, it was hugely commercially successful. I love the Grateful Dead, I love Nirvana, I love Pink Floyd, but it doesn't sound like they were sitting down counting, you know, banknotes while they were writing it.
Yeah. Well, so one of the bands that's really been speaking to me lately that I've been listening to a lot is Down. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, with No. Phil Anselmo and Rex Brown from Pantera.
Hmm.
And they're very much Southern rock and roll. They actually sound a lot like Sabbath in some of their songs. And what I was talking about earlier, how great art can speak to you no matter what the message is. They have this one song called Learn From This Mistake that I've just been listening to over and over again. I just love it. It really speaks to me. And it's funny because the song is about heroin abuse and heroin addiction, which I can't relate to because I've never done heroin. But the song still speaks to me because the message can encompass so many things. And I think all great art, whether it's books, music, movies, television, that it will evoke that sort of emotion and imagery in each individual.
I really like documentaries, and sometimes they get kind of cheesy with trying to put a story in and a story arc where there really isn't one. And the story is usually overcoming adversity. But when it's done correctly, I will watch a documentary with rapt attention about something I don't care about. Like, I remember some documentary I saw on PBS about a football player trying to make it to the major leagues. And it's like, I hate football. I hate watching it. I hate football fans. I hate that kind of mass mentality. But I really like this documentary, you know, so human stories are universal.
Well, and you know, you said that, your main character needs to have a flaw or something like that.
But no, he has to be likable too.
Yes. So I was reading.
Well, he doesn't have to be likable, but you have to be rooting for him, or he has to be in. You have to care what happens to him. A really good example is House of Cards. You haven't seen it yet, but the main character is despicable. He's kind of a cross between Barack Obama, George Bush, and a lot of Bill Clinton. But you kind of want to know what's going to happen next. You're not necessarily rooting for him, but you are interested in what happens to him.
Well, so you can apply that to Walt in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I actually liked Walt. I found him really likable, even after other people hated him.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll be back with the final redemption in the third act, because we do follow a character arc here on the Freedom Fiends in our storytelling instructional stories. After this trip to the market, it's more of my band Bomb.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
That is That is the lumbering bass guitar sound of me playing in my band Bomb back in the day. And it's pretty cool. I dug it. It was fun. So I guess what we're going to send you to sleep here with is the thought of just do it. Just go and make art. It doesn't cost anything to make art anymore. I mean, you might have a little startup of like getting a microphone or getting a video camera or something, but unlike when I was your age, like it cost money. If you wanted to paint, you couldn't do it on a computer. You had to buy paint. If you wanted to make film, you know, video is an unlimited resource, you know, with hard drive video, like you don't even need tape anymore. And when I was a kid, I was making films on 8mm film and it cost like $1 a minute. And I had to really think about what I was doing. I couldn't let myself make mistakes. And, you know, when I was my first book I published, like I took it to a publisher and paid $4,000 to publish 1,000 copies of them and have them bound. There was not on-demand publishing. So there's pretty much no cost in making art anymore. So just get out there and start doing it. Don't worry about it being bad, but, you know, get the technical parts of it as good as you can. And it, I mean, basically you can go on Google or you can go on my site, you can go on YouTube, anywhere, and like find out the basics of how to get good sound with a microphone, what microphone to use, how to record. All that stuff is freely available out there now. You don't need schools. You don't need to go to some institute. You can just do it, man. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'd like to see more people doing it with Liberty. I'd also like to see more people who are Liberty people doing media that's not necessarily all libertarian all the time, all talking about tyranny all the time. I mean, I do some shows sometimes that are really, you know, deep political analysis of current events. But a lot of times I just like to sit around and like shoot the breeze with my friends, like Chandler tonight. I mean, we've had a little bit of libertarianism in here. We can't not, but I kind of like to, my thing now is there's enough people out there doing the tyranny podcasts. I want to do the media we'd be doing if the government was already out of the way. And the media I'd be doing if the government was already gone, a typical radio show would be very similar to what I'm doing tonight with Chandler. So I'm going to throw it to Chandler for the final philosophical moment. What you got, man?
Yeah, so lately I've been in that same mode. I don't want to argue with status. I don't want to talk about what we should do to be free. So I've been in a very philosophical state.
And I don't want to talk about the like 27 kinds of libertarian and why you have to be one over the other. If you don't like, yeah, exactly. If you hate the state, you're my friend. That's period. That's it.
So I draw from life experiences and I like to read. I'll find stories. And one of the things I've been doing lately on Twitter and Facebook is finding short quotes, very philosophical quotes that could be applied in general terms to many different things, kind of going back to what we talked to about great art, speaking to different people. And I'll just throw these short quotes up there. And you know, it's funny, I've noticed I've got more likes and responses from those than anything else. And I think it's because it speaks to people. They'll form their own interpretations. It'll get their thought processes going. And it's meaningful. So, yeah, you know, take a philosophical approach if that's your thing. If not, you know, do the tyranny today, the libertarianism, whatever. But in today's world, like you said, it's so easy to follow your passions and your desires and your dreams and get them out there. You know, you don't have to go on the street corner. You don't have to go to family gatherings. You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get a little webcam, you know, for $50. It's got decent resolution. You get a decent mic. Start talking to the world. Throw it up on YouTube. You know, it takes 10 minutes to create a YouTube channel. And if you've got Facebook or Twitter or any of the other social networks, I know there's more and more coming out every day. Just put yourself out there. You know, you'll meet cool people. I mean, if it wasn't for wanting to do this stuff, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. You know, I probably would have never ended up at Porkfest last year and met all the cool people I did. So it's definitely worth the small amount of time and money to follow those passions and dreams and get out there.
Yeah, man. That was really nice. I like that. I was typing. I was working my day job on the BitShares project while you were talking, but I was listening, and I'll listen later. Cool, man. And you timed it really well, too. I like how it just went right up to the end. It was well done, man.
Worms.
Here's that pretty song I wrote and recorded I was talking about.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.